Good afternoon. It's a joy to welcome you to our services here at Del Rayda on this Lord's Day evening. We are thankful that you're here. As you can tell by looking at the middle of auditorium, we have several that are gone tonight. About 75 to 80 of our youth and family members are gone tonight, and they'll be back later on. We're certainly going to miss them while they are away. But we're rejoiced that you're here tonight, and we're thankful for those here who are our guests tonight. We are always, always grateful and honored to have visitors at our worship services. And I hope that you'll feel like you've been welcomed and you'll want to come back and worship with us anytime that you have an opportunity. What are some things that causes you to rejoice? Well, there may be many things that calls us as people to rejoice. Someone may get a job promotion. Maybe you get a new automobile. That might cause you to rejoice. Or maybe you get your house remodeled. Maybe some special room. You get it fixed up like you want it. That might make you rejoice. Or maybe you rejoice if you get a pay raise at work. There's many things that might cause us to rejoice. Maybe you get a new set of clothes and just kind of makes you feel good. That may cause you to rejoice. Maybe on August 31st, the Publishers Clearing House may pay you a visit and give you that $10 million. That'd make a lot of people rejoice, wouldn't it? But you see, all these things that I've mentioned thus far, and I could go on and on talking about such things, all these things are things that are seen. And of course, we know the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 18 that the things which are seen are temporary. They will not last. While the things which are not seen are eternal. And if we're not careful sometimes, we lose our focus. We fail to prioritize things in the way that we should. We fail to emphasize spiritual matters in our lives. Tonight I want us to focus on the book of Philippians, and I want us to look at Paul and this great book and just briefly go through this book, talking about some reasons why we need to rejoice. And by rejoicing, I mean rejoicing in the Lord always. I think we're all familiar with that passage of Philippians 4 and verse 4 where Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." That's a wonderful attitude for anybody to have. It's wonderful to rejoice and to rejoice in the Lord. But what's interesting about Paul as he wrote those words is that Paul wrote these words while he himself was in prison. Paul was in bondage because he had preached the word of God, and he was perceived as a threat because of that. Now, if I were in prison, if I were in jail, particularly because I had preached the gospel, I don't know what kind of attitude I might have. I'd probably be a little bit upset about the situation, particularly, you know, in the country in which we live and the background we have. Why would I be in prison for doing something the Lord would have me to do? And yet, Paul was a man that had things in proper perspective. Paul had said, "I've learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content." You see, outward circumstances did not determine Paul's happiness and contentment. It was something that came from the inside of Paul. And that needs to be true of us as well. But Paul said, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And Paul was in prison. And Paul was rejoicing here in his present trials Paul realized that there was an advantage that had been gained as a result. What looked like a very negative situation, Paul being in prison, had turned actually into a positive thing. There were a lot of good results that perhaps would have never taken place in the church and in its growth if Paul had not been placed in prison. Notice what he said in particular in verses 12 through 14, our scripture reading tonight. Paul said, "I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance or the betterment of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard. Even those that are holding me in prison," Paul said, "are aware of good things that are being accomplished." And Paul says, "And to all the rest, that my chains are in Christ." They knew why Paul was there. Paul wasn't there because he was guilty of shoplifting or robbery or murder. They knew that Paul was there because of Jesus Christ and because of the fact that he had preached the word. And Paul said, "Because of this, most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." You see, Paul, because he was in prison, and because of the advantages that had taken place in negative times, that caused the brethren, by their observation, to see that they could go ahead and stand for what's right and preach the word and be bold in their proclamation of the gospel. But Paul said that he was going to rejoice in the Lord always. I want us to just briefly scan this book, and we're not going to go into any detail much about these particular reasons, but notice some of these things that Paul focuses on in his book, the book of Philippians, that encourage us, I think, in 2010 as we live in our society today and as we face the difficulties that are ours from time to time. We can rejoice in the Lord as well. I might suggest, first of all, tonight, one reason Paul could rejoice is because of the fellowship in the furtherance of the gospel. Paul says here, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." You see, Paul and the brethren there shared something in common. They were all benefiting from the blood of Jesus Christ and from the fellowship and from the sharing in common that provided. They were brothers and sisters in Christ, and they were laborers together in the vineyard of the Lord. The ties of love, the fellowship, was so precious, and that made Paul rejoice. Paul also rejoiced because Christ was proclaimed. If you look at verse 18, Paul said, "What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice." You know, the doctrines of men were not being proclaimed. The ideas that were popular in that day were not being taught to the people. Paul rejoiced because Jesus Christ and Him crucified was being proclaimed to a lost and dying world. And Paul was thrilled at that fact. And we ought to rejoice today whenever Christ is preached. It's the gospel, the good news, that's God's power to salvation, Romans 1 and verse 16. And we need to rejoice And we need to demand and expect that Jesus Christ be proclaimed to the world. But Paul also rejoiced, as we look further at this book, because of a life of faith. Paul said, in being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith. Paul rejoiced because here were brethren that had been converted from a pagan society. They had become New Testament Christians. And because of Paul and his encouragement, they were making progress. Their faith was increasing. And Paul rejoiced because of the life of faith that they possessed. And the fact that he was able to be a part of something so vitally important. And then along this same line, Paul rejoiced because of the unity that these brethren enjoyed together. Paul said, therefore, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy. How, Paul? By being like-minded. You know, to me, there's no greater reason to rejoice than when brethren in the body of Christ are at peace. Peace is something that doesn't just happen automatically. If brethren are going to be united in Christ, you have to work for it. We have to strive for it. And Paul said, here's the key. By being like-minded, you think alike, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And then he talks about the foundation for this unity. This is how this unity and love among brethren are going to exist. He said in verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, selfishness and conceit. Those are two things that can destroy unity very quickly. Unity must happen in the Lord's church. And yet, when people are selfish, when they think more highly of themselves than they ought to think, that's going to destroy that peace and that harmony. When I'm so focused on me and what I want and what I desire that takes precedence over anything else, there's always going to be trouble. And Paul said, don't let anything be done because of selfish ambition, but instead, in lowliness of mind, in humility, let each esteem others better than themselves. When I look at you, when I think about you, I'm going to treat you and act around you as if you are better than me. I'm going to consider what you need and what you want and what your wishes are above having my own way. That's the attitude that we need to have one toward another. And he goes on, verse 4, looking at it from a more practical standpoint, he said, let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also on the interest of others. We have to be focused on the other person. What are your needs? What are the areas wherein you need to be encouraged and edified? If our focus is where it needs to be, if we're humble and selfless, then there'll be unity in the body of Christ. And Paul said that's a reason to rejoice. And then Paul talked about the sacrifice and service for Christ and the brethren. He said, yes, and if I'm being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. Paul literally gave up himself. He gave up what he desired and what he wanted for their benefit. They likewise had done the same thing. And then Paul, in this great book of rejoicing, talked about another reason for that joy. He talked about brotherly safety and companionship. Paul said, talking about Aphrodite here, "Therefore I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful." Now, Paul was sad to see Epaphroditus go. But when Paul thought about the joy that it would bring to those brethren to see him once again, that made him less sorrowful. And here, Paul speaks of relieving the fears of these brethren concerning his safety and his health. You know, when we hear of our brethren who are safely doing the Lord's work, when they return from a situation that may be somewhat difficult, or when they travel from place to place. I know yesterday when our teens got back from Dean Road in Jacksonville, there was a lot of rejoicing because of their safe return, the companionship that we have one with another. And then Paul talked about the fruits of one's labor for Christ. Paul said, "Holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain." Paul rejoiced because the work that he had put in had brought results. Not because of just him. Paul sowed the seed. Paul planted. Paulus watered. God gave the increase. And Paul rejoiced that there had been increase. He said in verse 1, "Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved." Notice what Paul here referred to as his joy and crown. The joy and crown that brought him to this point was the brethren there. He was so joyful that those brethren there were being committed to the Lord, that they had progressed to that point. And Paul could see the fruits of his labor. And he said that he would rejoice in that. And I think it brings us joy today when maybe we teach somebody the gospel. We observe them growing and maturing and making progress. And the glory and honor did not focus on Paul. The focus was on the Lord, and not on his labor. And then notice the fact as well that Paul rejoiced here because the Lord hears and answers our prayers and grants peace. Paul said, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." It brought Paul great joy to know that God hears his prayer. God hears our prayers. He is our Father, and we are to petition him. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, James says, does much good. And when we have a relationship with our Father in heaven, then that's going to bring peace and joy that the world can never know. And then Paul talked about here also in this book the actions of brotherly love and concern. Paul said, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity." These brethren here at Philippi demonstrated their love for Paul by coming to his aid again and again. They supported him and his work for the Lord. They were co-workers together in the vineyard of our Lord. And today, when we as a church are able to support and encourage and help some individual or some family go to a foreign country or to another place, maybe in the States where the church is very weak, or maybe it doesn't even exist, and that individual is able to do a work there that causes the Lord's church to grow and make progress, then we rejoice in the actions of brotherly love and concern. We're co-workers together. We're laborers together. And there's so much good that we can accomplish when we are united together in doing the Lord's work. But as I close, I think we need to meditate on what Paul wrote in Philippians 4 and verse 8. He said, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything that's praiseworthy, meditate on these things." By focusing on these things, by contemplating these thoughts, we'll have joy in our hearts. We'll have peace in Jesus Christ, confident that in that day the Lord returns, we'll have a home with our Father in heaven. I hope tonight you have that joy that Paul talked about here. There's nothing greater than having the kind of joy that leads to peace that passes all understanding. And you can only have that joy by being faithful in Christ Jesus. If you're not in Christ, the Bible says the only way to get into Christ is to be baptized into Christ, Galatians 3 and verse 27. And you can be baptized into Christ and have your sins washed away if in your faith in God you're willing to repent and confess Jesus as being the Son of God. Tonight, if you need to respond to heaven's invitation, we ask that you come now while we stand and sing.